This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this journey, battlefield we call life. I've talked about long COVID from time to time, and I'm now well into my fourth year with it, and some of the symptoms include really hard-hitting fatigue bouts with shortness of breath, the foggy brain, and the other things that can come along with that. And usually when I would have a bout, say, with difficulty with breathing, it would last for maybe an hour, 2 hours, maybe three, but it always would be something that was, I wouldn't call it long-term. I mean, 2 or 3 hours isn't fun, but it could be a lot worse. And then last week, it did get worse. So basically for the whole week, for the entire week, I was really struggling with breathing. And there was one day last Tuesday where it was just all out painful to breathe. And so by the time Friday rolled around, I'm like, oh, I hope this is not a new baseline. I don't think it is, but I thought, you know what? I've never had it where it's just constant all during the day like this. So I thought maybe I better go to the hospital in case something's going on with the lungs or the heart, because you just never know. But I really hesitated because I've been through this routine before in the last year since I've had this where I go to a doc. And then they check me out, run their tests, and they'll say, well, gee, everything looks great. Sorry, you've got long COVID. There's no cure for it at this point. But I thought, you know what, maybe I better get checked out. So I went into the ER. It was around 11 in the morning, and thankfully nobody was there because, you know, when it's full, you can be sitting there for hours just waiting to get in. But nobody was there, and they took me right in, ran. As soon as you say the words, I'm having a hard time breathing, they take it seriously. They don't know if it's a heart issue or what. So EKG, blood work, chest x-ray, oxygen levels, the whole bit like I've done before. And the results came back like they always have these last 3+ into 4 years now. Hey, everything looks great. And in fact, a nurse said, I really don't know why you're struggling with breathing so much when everything looks so good. And then I asked the doc, I'm taking no cure in sight for this? And he said, nope. And then he walked out the door. And so I went home. And so what that leaves me with is prayer and perseverance. And that has been enough. And I know there are some people that are praying for me. I also know I've had people pray over me, pray for me for healing. I prayed for healing myself, plenty of times. But this is where God has me today, and that's okay. And I do think there is a benefit to it. It really keeps me focused on the Lord because it's very critical these days in the times that we're in, no matter what we're going through, that we don't let despair or discouragement or anything like that get in the doorway of our heart or our emotions. So I've told myself many times, no pity parties, not doing pity parties here. This is just temporary. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. That's from, I believe, Romans 8. Could be wrong, but consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that such things produce endurance. This is from James chapter 1, 1 Peter 4. Arm yourself with the purpose of suffering. And then I love a quote from Oswald Chambers where he says that God bruised Jesus. Why shouldn't he bruise you? And why shouldn't we have the privilege of suffering? And I think maybe it's in Philippians where, I could be wrong, where Paul says, God has granted you the privilege of suffering. and then he who has suffered has in the flesh has ceased from sin so they can spend the rest of their time for the will of God. And, you know, there is a benefit to it. It's not something to run away from. I didn't say it was fun. It's not fun at all. But this is where we learn to walk with the Lord and in his strength and in endurance and to keep our prayer life strong one day at a time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is a big one for me. I run that through my mind. Or fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I uphold you with the right hand in my righteousness. I felt really crummy this morning, struggling with really some strong fatigue, still kind of working my way through the shortness of breath thing, although it's not as bad as it was last week where there were moments where I was gasping for air. So I'm thinking I may be on the downhill, I mean, coming back to what my old baseline was, hopefully. But even so, wherever God has us, maybe you're going through cancer, maybe you're going through something life-threatening. Whatever it is, we need not fear. We can just keep walking with him. We are not alone, and he is with us. Maybe, and I know my audience, I know there's a lot of people who either have been or are going through some really tough times in your marriage with porn addiction or sex addiction involved with it, and often the man will feel be stuck in shame or fear or guilt or all the things that come with that, and the wife can be there with all the trauma that she goes through with a torn up self-esteem and all the spiritual warfare that comes along with that and the doubts and does my spouse really want to heal? God is with you. One of the things the enemy tries to do is to attack us with his lies that you're alone. This is it. You're on your own. And no, that's a lie. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Rock solid ground, rock solid truth that we can bank on. And last Sunday I was driving alone and I was having a hard time breathing. And I don't know what came over me, but and I didn't mentally wasn't aware of a spiritual battle. But I just started saying, you know what? I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to persevere. And I don't remember if I said that aloud or in my thoughts, but as I did that, my breathing opened up just a little bit, which shows me there's times there's an element of spiritual warfare to this stuff. And every single believer who wants to live a life that counts for eternity is going to encounter spiritual warfare. You will be in a fight. And if you're not in a fight, you're either under God's protection and covering, or you're living the typical American soft, pampered, comfort-driven, staring at your phone 6 hours a day, which is the national average type of life. And the enemy is not really worried about messing with you too much. So keep going and keep fighting and keep making your life count for eternity. So before I get too much further into this, we are hoping to raise upwards of $100,000 this year. We have a lot of ministry opportunities in front of us. We made a lot of investment in the UK and in Finland. and in other areas, and with the video series that's coming up. So I do want to ask that those of you who God might move in your heart to support us financially, maybe give that some thought or prayer. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and so everything we do is to walk with God and what He wants to do, and He's opened these doors for us. And so maybe consider and pray about, you know, does the Lord want you to partner up with us this way? But even if not, we could always use prayer. I could always use prayer. And we're looking for a partner in Phoenix, maybe, or partners, churches that would be willing to host one of our From Porn to Grace conferences. I don't charge for that. We take an offering, but this is not a call for money in that to do a conference. And those are for men, for wives, and for youth, where I talk openly about sexual issues and sexual sin, and I share my own story and what I went through and the 20-year battle to break free from that stuff, provide foundation for breaking free for those who are in bondage. I also talk about healing for wives and issues for youth, and there's breakouts and where they're sharing and praying, and talk about youth, because that is so critical these days in a time when we're losing 75% of our youth. And so in about another month, we're going to be coming out with the Road to Grace video series. That is going to be a 6-part video series that is going to be great for churches or study groups or individual use. So I'll just share with you the titles of the 6 parts. So session 1 is my story, me sharing my story. And by the way, a lady named Darren Edwards, who is a British actress and a singer, she narrates and she presents and provides follow-up questions at the end of each video. The second session is the physical, emotional, and spiritual effects of pornography on a man and his wife. So how it affects us chemically, emotionally, and spiritually. Part 3, session 3, is 10 action steps for men. The action steps those who are in bondage to sin can take to overcome. And these days, it's not just about men. A recent Barna survey showed that 40% of women are engaged with porn. Session 4, the road to healing for the wife and the marriage. A big mistake a lot of people make is they just focus in on the men. Let's do a men's conference, and then the wife gets totally left out of this, which is a big mistake, because her healing is just as critical as her husband's. Part 5, warfare and breaking the power of lies. Spiritual warfare is a big-time part of the battle to break free from this stuff. And every single couple, every man, every woman who's going through this, youth, they're in for an intense spiritual battle, and breaking the power of lies is a critical piece of it. And then section 6, youth and the church. I talk about what we should be, how we should be arming our youth, preparing them, talking about the sexual issues that they're faced with right in front of their face all day long. And I've had youth on our program. I've asked them point blank, why are so many youth leaving the church? And they've all said the same thing. You're not equipping us in the areas we're struggling in. You're treating us like a bunch of kids in an Awana level when we're in a spiritual firefight. We know nothing about spiritual warfare. We know little to nothing about the sexual stuff. You're not teaching us how to pray. And so this is a part of what drives the heartbeat of doing a radio show like this. Is we can't just think that the status quo Christianity is going to keep working. It is not. It is failing. So that's the Road to Grace video series. That's going to be coming out in about the next month. And a show in the next week or two, we're going to play a trailer, a clip. Yeah, you won't be able to watch the video, but if you go to Blazing Grace on YouTube, you'll be able to see it now. So I want to talk about Alexei Navalny. His autobiography was recently published. It's called Patriot. And he was a lawyer who founded the Anti-Corruption Foundation in Russia. He was natural-born Russian, and from the 2000s on, he started being a vocal opponent to the corruption and the evil and the wickedness that is at the higher levels of the Russian government. He would come out boldly against Putin and announce all the things that they were doing, and they did exposés and they did YouTube videos. They were viewed by millions, and he paid a terrible price for that. He ran for mayor of Moscow, and I believe they jailed him for 15 days in the middle of that. He ran for president, and they thwarted that. He was arrested, in his words, more times than he can count. His book was fascinating. It's a guy who is giving everything for his country, and he started out, as many Russians are, as an atheist, and then right around, not far from the middle of the book, he turned to Christ, and he talked about it just didn't make sense to be an atheist anymore, and he didn't talk about God a whole lot until probably towards the end. But he suffered a lot. So in 2017, he and an attacker walked up to him and threw green toxic liquid on his face. He nearly lost an eye because of it. You can do a Google search on images on Google. Alexei Navalny and toxic liquid attack, and you can see a picture of it where his face is covered in green goo. And he actually did a video right after that where in that state where he's got the green stuff all over his face, and then there's another one where he has an eye patch over his eye. He could have lost his sight. And then in August of 2020, right before he got on a plane, he was poisoned with Novichok, which is a military-grade poison. Only the military in Russia has that poison. So the idea that this was done at a, you know, the personal level or by an individual, he pretty much debunks that. This could only come from higher-ups that try to do that. And he came close to dying, and then what happened was, because of all the international pressure, maybe 48 hours after he was poisoned, this was on a plane, he doubled over and collapsed. They took him to Germany for 5 months, where he recovered. And his wife and his two kids, he has a son and daughter, flew out there, and he was with them. And there's a picture in the book of him spending time with his family and having a great time and smiles on their face. And then a part of me, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, stay in Germany, man. Don't go back to Russia. And then January 17th, 2021, he flew back to Russia. And upon landing, he was arrested, and he would never see freedom again. He was put in prison. First, the prisons where the, as he describes them, the treatment wasn't too harsh. But as the next several years played out, the government just kept throwing more and more trials and accusations at him. And by the second or third year of his imprisonment, they had racked up about 30 years of prison time on false charges, made-up charges, politicized charges. And then they kept moving him from prison to prison. Each time, the conditions were worse. Until the last prison he ended up was in a prison north of the Arctic Circle. So very cold, and they put him in isolation pretty much constantly. They labeled him as, I don't remember the word, the rebellious or not following orders or whatever it was. But he writes in his book how he refused to give in. He refused to give in to hopelessness. He refused to give in to despair. And even when he was in prison, he was somehow doing posts on Instagram and still encouraging people in Russia, don't give up. We got to keep up this fight. And so a lot of people were asking, why'd you go back? I mean, other prison inmates and even some of the guards, and he was receiving thousands of letters, and he was asked often, why did you go back? You could have just stayed in Germany and done whatever you'd done from there, but he wrote that I couldn't because I promised the Russian people I would not abandon them. And I'm going to read this quote from his book when he's answering that. He said, "I find myself in prison because I tried to the utmost to tug my end of the rope. I pulled and am on this side among those, the honest people who would not or could not any longer bear to be afraid." And then he says, "I have my country and my convictions. I don't want to give up my country or betray it. If your convictions mean something, you must be prepared to stand up for them and make sacrifices." And as I read that, I was reminded of Edward Snowden when he, after he had gone through what he did, when he exposed the U.S. government for the data collection and all that back in 2013, I mean, he gave up everything. He had a girlfriend. He was living in Hawaii. And I'm going to read this quote from Snowden now. After he went to Russia, he wrote, "The true measurement of a person's worth is not what they say they believe in, but what they do in defense of those beliefs. If you're not acting on your beliefs, then they probably aren't real." And I think what I read from Navalny and from Snowden, even though Snowden wasn't a believer, is that the proof of where we are with our relationship with God is not our talk. Talk, talk, talk. We do a lot of talk. Our actions prove or bear out what we really value in life. So I want to be in Navalny. I want to be somebody who's willing to pay the price and go all the way and pour my life out until the very end. I don't want to sit my butt on the sidelines. And yeah, sometimes there's plenty of times of spiritual warfare, but this is part of the game. If you're going to make a difference, there are some people, and some of them carried around a really big Bible, and they can talk really good theology and doctrine, but they're just armchair critics, and they're out to argue with. They'll defend and fight for their theology and doctrine every day of the week, but what fruit do they have? And what is the fruit of your life? It be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's from James 1. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So if you say you love God, but your prayer life is choked or you have no prayer life, then your lack of prayer shows where you really are with your relationship with God. In Matthew 5, if something caused you to stumble, cut it off. Playing with sin. There are a lot of believers who are playing with sin and compromise. The average American now spends 6 hours a day on their smartphone. That's a choked life. And 70% of Christian men, 40% of Christian women from recent surveys struggling with pornography. We can't play games with this stuff, but, you know, of course, a lot of churches are playing ostrich with it. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. How often do you really do that? Or are you, as probably 80% of American Christians are you holed up in isolation, comforting your phone and playing with it all the time? Are you really connected to other believers? Or is it just talk? When I say connected, I don't mean just, hey, how you doing, and talking sports. I'm talking about, are you really sharing your struggles and your fears and your sins and your failures on an ongoing basis? Colossians 4, we're told to be devoted to prayer. Are you devoted to prayer? Devoted to prayer means we're praying all the time. And no, I don't pray every single moment. There's times I can go, you know, some hours without it, but I try to keep coming back to it. And I try to spend a good hour alone with the Lord in the morning, or else quite a bit more during the day. But being devoted to prayer, you can't do that in isolation. So it's what we do that determines and proves out who we are. And be devoted to good works. What is the fruit of your life? Every believer has to take a hard look at what is really the fruit of my life. And there's sometimes we're going through suffering and sorrow, but there's no fruit and we're just surviving. So that's not what I'm talking about here, but pour your life out until the very end. Do not retire. Do not give up. Do not slow down. Do not sit there in isolation. Put it out there. Say, God, here I am, send me. Do not play games. with the Christian life. We do not have much time left. We don't know how much time we have left. Go all the way with God and give everything. So thank you for joining me, my friends, and we'll talk to you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.